Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Hello, hello. Welcome to Shining Bright. And we are excited to be here with you today. Today, this Farm Herd is just me. It's just the Farm Her today. And we have an episode all about young women who are finding their own path in this life and really chasing their dreams. And I want to talk a little bit about that because I get this question a lot, like, how do I go after something? How do I do this? Or, you know, even like this ability to dream and like kind of put ourselves outside of our comfort zone. It's such a difficult thing. I can tell you that when you're talking about dreaming and actually running after it, I did that for so many years before I actually got the courage to run after it. Farm Her was my dream, right? I just didn't know it for a long time. So I think in taking a step back and looking at my life and what I can tell you I have gone through, and I know that these young women that we're going to talk to have gone through, it's dream and dream big, okay? Because that's what dreaming is, dream big. That's the only thing that you can do, right? Put everything into this idea, like let it run free. I am a person who, you know, when I take myself back to before I started Farm Her, I would have these ideas and these thoughts and I would write them down. And I think today I need to go back and look at some of those. My husband ran across one recently and he said, you know, you were dreaming about Farm Her before you even knew it was Farm Her. And I was just trying to like kind of get my thoughts together around what I could do or something I could do for this world that would leave it a better place, that would provide me personally something that fit my personality and my abilities better. And so dream and dream big and write that stuff down because, you know, that the way our brains work, sometimes you lose track of those things. And if you have it there written down, you can go back and look at it and kind of remember. But without that ability to like think and take the pressure off yourself that you have to run forward with it right now, right? Because you have to be able to sit there and think without that, like, oh my gosh, I have to go do something about this tomorrow. Like, enjoy this point, because I can't say that I probably did enough. And if I could go back, that's one thing I would tell myself is like, really enjoy this. There is no pressure on you right now to create or do anything. And these young women we're going to talk to Louise Lark. And she, I would say Louise is a dreamer in the best sense, because she's done it and she's thought about it and now she's just going and doing it. And we're also going to talk to Amberly Snyder. And, you know, she was chasing her dreams and had an accident that changed her life. And she said, you know, it took her a year, year and a half to really get back up and get going. Talk about time to dream about how you're going to do these things. So sometimes that gets built in for you in life, but dream and dream big. And that is what I think is such a key. And then once you've got that dream kind of formulated, and nothing's ever perfect, right? Nothing is ever going to be 100% perfect. Then start putting one foot in front of the other. And when I think back about how Farm Her started for me, it was that period of a couple years where I was like, what could I do? Where could I go? How could I do this? And, you know, once I kind of set that big stage and then the idea, the actual idea for Farm Her came to me, it boiled it down to a much more definable and doable thing. Then I was like, okay, I'm ready to put my foot in front of the other. And that's when I kind of halted myself and I'm like, oh no, I don't have any money to do this. I don't know how I would get the time. I don't have the resources. I've never built a website. I don't know how to do all these things. And my cheerleader, my husband, stepped in and said, you know what you do, just put one foot in front of the other, just create the most basic website. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be, and then build on what works. And that is my advice to people all of the time. I needed that push, and it's still true in Farm Her today for us. You know, you just have to put one foot in front of the other, put something out there and watch what works. And I want to reiterate about what works. It doesn't necessarily mean what makes money.
because that was not the case with Farm Her for a long time. It still can struggle that way today. But what works, what people pay attention to, what people, what fills up their cup, what are those things about it that, you know, have that like steam building behind them and that pressure and that power to really move forward. And like I said, not just income, not just money, but putting one foot in front of the other. So stick with us. We're going to be talking to a couple amazing young women. Louise Lark is coming up next. And then we're going to be talking later in the show to Amberlee Snyder. And I'll be back at the end to talk a little bit more about chasing your dreams as it relates to me and Farm Her. So on that note, stick with us. We will be right back here on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome to Shining Bright. We've got a cool episode on tap for you. I mean, I'm biased. I think all of our episodes are cool. So I always say that. So welcome back to another cool one. But this one's kind of unique. We've got a couple young women who are running after their own dreams and maybe, you know, finding their way along that really curvy path, because sometimes it changes what we run after. So welcome, Louise. Oh, shoot. I already screwed that up.
That's okay.
So welcome, Louise Lately. Excited to have you here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So I have to tell the audience, most of the people that we have on here are connected to agriculture in some way or another. I'm just saying that you're connected to agriculture because you are from Iowa.
Yeah. Well, I've grown, like, I have a plant in my house that I grow.
So. That counts. You grow things. You know, our show is Shining Bright, and it's all about everyday women who are doing amazing things. And agriculture is the tie that binds a lot of these stories together. But I think you have a really cool story. I am jealous of the fact that you are so young and running after what you know you want to do. So let's take it back a little bit. You are a musician.
Yes.
And did you grow up in a household with parents who are musicians, or where did this come from?
No, they're not at all, actually. my grandpa is a very talented jazz pianist, but my parents don't sing and they don't play any kind of instruments. My dad, now in his 50s, is trying to teach himself how to play electric guitar, which I think is really cute.
He needs to talk to Tony.
Yeah, I know.
They need to start their own band.
But no, I don't really know where it came from. I was just kind of like the first one to pursue it. And I've always like been musical ever since I was a kid. It's just always been a part of me. So I think it's just something that kind of happened. It was just a freak accident.
Like, you like to listen to music and then you like to sing. And then when did you pick up an instrument?
Yeah, well, my dad is a really big fan of like classic rock and folk music and stuff. So I grew up listening to Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and Simon and Garfunkel and all that stuff. And that had a big influence on me. But I never actually like considered the idea of becoming a musician until less than 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
I've only been doing this for about 2 years. Yeah.
I'm shocked. I know. After hearing your music on iTunes, I am shocked.
I know. I just never thought of myself as someone who could make it in that world. I never thought of myself as a songwriter. I had written songs before, but I'd never just like committed to it, I guess, as a career path. And I played piano. I've played piano since I was like 7 or 8.
Okay.
But about a year and a half ago, I started playing guitar.
Picked it up. I'm going to do this.
Because I started thinking, you know, if I'm going to keep playing shows and stuff, I'm going to need to learn how to play a more portable instrument. I can't be hauling my keyboard around with me everywhere. So I picked up the acoustic guitar. And from there, I transitioned to electric. So I play both now. And, you know, I'm making progress.
I am so impressed. And if you don't mind saying, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, just you have such a great attitude. Like I think I should learn how to do this. So I'm just going to learn. I'm just going to pick it up and do it. What did the piano give you a good basis to be able to do that?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that I have improved at guitar like far more rapidly than I would have if I did not already have a musical basis. And I already have a lot of music theory just because of the piano that I've taken. So yeah, it all kind of ties in and connects to each other and makes it easier.
And so you took piano lessons as a kid. Obviously, you said age 7 or 8.
Yes.
Was that something your parents got you into? Were you like, Mom, Dad, I need these lessons right
it,
now.
It was something that I wanted to do, yeah. But actually, a funny thing is I only took lessons for probably about like 4 or 5 years. And then my piano teacher said, okay, like I can't teach her anymore. She just wants to do her own thing. She knows all the basics, like goodbye, let her go.
Yeah.
And kind of set me loose. And ever since then, I've just been sort of just winging it, doing my own thing, feeling my way.
So this is a pretty new journey for you. I mean, relatively new.
Yes.
But was there kind of an aha moment where you went, this is what I'm going to do? Like, I'm going to run after this.
So I studied theater in college, so I didn't study music at all.
Okay.
And so I thought I was going to be an actress, and that was my dream. So I was like, I'm going to graduate, and I'm going to move to New York, and I'm going to try and like be on Broadway or do movies or whatever. I don't know what I was thinking. And then I graduated, and I was just kind of like, well, I want to like see the world first, and I want to travel. So I got a job working in Europe for a while, and I worked there for a couple summers. And then I got an invitation to audition for The Voice.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Which I've never, because they were doing some sort of thing where you could like post a couple videos of yourself singing. And then if they saw it and they liked you, then they would invite you to come in for a private audition. So you wouldn't have to do the open call.
Right.
And so I got an invitation to do that. And I had just posted videos just on a complete whim. A friend of mine was auditioning and they were like, you should do this too. You should do it. You really should. And I was like, well, okay. So I did it. And then they invited me to come in and I went to Indianapolis and I auditioned. And it was just this amazing experience. And I think like before that, I had just never considered the fact that I was like a good enough singer to ever make, like to ever have
stand
anybody
stand up in front of a room of people or a massive crowd and go like, I have a voice. It's going to
exactly.
carry all this.
Yeah. But like what I found was that being an actor for so many years and like acting in college, it gave me the experience and the confidence that I needed to perform in front of people. Like I was able to just kind of switch over to music. And I don't really get like stage fright
right.
very often anymore now because I'm so used to getting up and performing in front of people, even though it's a completely different kind of performance.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big wake up call for me.
Yeah. So you auditioned on The Voice. Did you make it any further than that, the audition after that, or how did that work out?
No. Well, so what happens is you have to like, there's a couple different, I mean, I don't know how much I'm allowed to legally say. There's a couple different rounds of auditions that you have to go through.
Yeah.
And there's like an interview process and I don't know that my style of music is necessarily
the right fit.
What they were looking for. They did tell me that they liked my voice, but it just wasn't. What I do isn't maybe, and that's fine. You know, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
That's the way music is though. Right.
Yeah.
But I get, I mean, that's a very mainstream, you know, it's on network television, thing. And so they're looking for
marketable people, you know,
which I would say you're very marketable.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Is funny. You guys, we'll post some links to her, stuff obviously in the notes on this, on our website and our blog, but, looking at you, I just think this is the cutest thing ever. So I am like 14 years older than you, but your glasses, like this is what all of the young people wear, these like very cute, like big round glasses. And I like fought in my life to not have those glasses anymore because it's like back in high school, my husband's, Tony's over here holding up a picture. They're like the same glasses. And I was like, I got to get rid of these massive glasses. And then glasses got smaller and smaller and I got LASIK and I don't need them anymore, but I think it's so adorable. You look so cute, but you have your own look for
my
sure.
My mom had them too. Yeah. It's a very like, yeah, it's a very 80s look, but I've tried the, you know, big black, like
I had those too.
Yeah. And those just don't work for me. They look too big on my tiny little head. So yeah.
You look adorable. I love
you.
It. Whenever I see people with those glasses though, I'm like, oh, I'm old. Cause I had those the first time. Okay. Well, we are headed to break here. I just want to remind all of you that we host events to inspire, engage, and empower young women all around the country. Grow by Farm Her. You can head over to our website, farmher.com, to check the those out. We are very soon going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. We're coming to Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri. So if we're going to be in a state near you, definitely head over to farmher.com. Check it out. The tickets are complimentary in 2019. Thank you to our sponsors and our partners for these events. So we hope to see you there, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are talking to a young woman here, Louise. Gosh. Louise, lately.
Like
oh
Chelsea
my
lately.
Gosh. Oh, yes, like Chelsea lately, but Louise. Yeah. And we are talking about your path as a young woman and a musician, and you are from right here where we are from in Central Iowa.
Yes.
So it's very exciting for me to hear your story and see what you're doing. So we were talking about kind of your getting into the music side of things and realizing that this could be a good path for you. And I guess from there, when did you kind of decide, or was there something that made you go, I'm going to run after this? Like, I'm going to, you know, I know you recently moved to Nashville, or last year you were in Nashville for a period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, that's running after something. Like, you picked up and moved to a city where you could try to see if that would work for you there.
Yeah. Well, what really kind of inspired that is I had been in the process of recording my first EP, and I'd never recorded any kind of music before. And so there's a band in town. I have to give them a shout out, because what I do, like where I am now, would not have been possible without them. The Wellpennies.
Here in Iowa? Mm-hmm. Or, okay.
Yep. Awesome. They're here in Iowa. They moved here from LA a couple years ago, and they're actually about to release their second studio album now, but they have a studio in their basement, and it's just very high quality. And I had known them previously, and so they very generously offered to, you know, let me use the studio to record my EP. So I put together 5 songs, and when I was done with it, I sat down and I listened to them, and for the first time, I kind of thought to myself, like, this is good. Maybe
yeah.
this is good. I think
yeah.
this is something that, like, this is something that I could run with, like you said. And so I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, there's a lot of different cities that I've contemplated moving to. I've thought about LA. I've thought about New York. But I know Nashville is supposed to be Music City, and right now I don't really have any ties to anything. I can pretty much just pick up and move
up and go.
Wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really, I'm kind of a nomadic.
Yeah, you got your family here. You can always come back home, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I thought, you know, I'll go down there for like 2 months, and I'll try and get a job, and I'll just go to as many open mics and writer's rounds and shows as I can, and I'll talk to people, and I'll just try and get a feel for it and see if that's someplace where I want to settle down and build my career. And it did not end up being, but I still enjoyed the experience, and I am very, very glad that I did that.
Yeah. Do you have something that maybe you've learned about yourself, or something that you picked up that you have carried with you back from that experience?
I think just you have to be so fearless, because I am a very, when it comes to like putting myself out there and going to places where I've never been before and talking to people that I don't know, it's hard for me to do that sometimes. It's hard for me to like muster up the energy to put myself out there. And especially in Nashville, where it was like, you know, every night I would come home from work and I would be so tired, and I'd be like, well, I could go out to an open mic, or I could just stay at home.
Go to bed.
Like, go to bed.
Because I'm tired. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
you have to work during the day, right?
Exactly.
Like, you still have bills to pay.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yes. I was working out of Bath and Body Works. But what I had to learn was that you have to just overcome that. You have to overcome, no matter how tired you are, no matter how much you wish you could just stay at home, you have to get up, you have to put your guitar in your car, and you have to just go out and go do it. Yeah. And the more that I did that, the better and the more confident I started to feel. And I learned so much just as a musician from doing that. It was incredible. Like, I feel like I've grown so much just from 2 months of being there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. Well, I can't wait. I want to tell people that they can find you at Louise Lately on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
And L-O-U-S-I-E.
L-O-U-I-S-E, Louise. And then Lately, just spelled like Lately, like Chelsea Lately. And I have a website as well. So
awesome. Yeah. I don't know why. And you're on iTunes.
I am. I'm on iTunes and Spotify, Apple Music, any kind of streaming platform. You can find me under Louise Lately. Yep. And my EP, Young God, is 5 songs. And yeah, it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
Put my heart everything, and soul into it.
Everything worth doing is. It's I really so do believe that as we sit here. Let's not delay then. Let's jump to listening to one of your songs. Louise, tell me a little bit about the inspiration for this song.
So this is actually the first song that I ever wrote, and I wrote it back in my like freshman year of college. So it's very, very old. And I was really into like Greek mythology back then and comparing it to modern life. So I wrote this song kind of as a way to compare a Greek myth that I love to like forbidden fruit, kind of like wanting something that you know is bad for you, but you just don't care. This is Young God.
goodness, I have chills. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on here.
So
you definitely
welcome.
Shine bright.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. This is Margie. And as you recall from the earlier segments, we've been talking about young women who are chasing their dreams. And on the phone now, I have a young woman who we came into contact with a couple years ago with Farm Her, Amber Lee Snyder. She spoke at one of our GROW events for young women that we had in Oklahoma. And she just has an absolutely amazing story. So Amber Lee, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yes, yes. It's good to talk to you again. I can't believe it's been a couple of years, but it has been. So for those of our listeners who may not know you, why don't we take it back a little ways? You have spent a lot of your life on a horse, correct?
Yes, I feel like, I first started riding when I was 3.
Oh my gosh.
I'd been on horses before that, but yeah, I had first started riding when I was 3.
And so tell me a little bit about what your career in that world has entailed. And then if you would lead us up to the accident and what happened with that as well.
So I started riding when I was 3, and we lived in California at the time, and when I was 7, my dad called us all in and said we were going to move to Utah, and I told him I would only move if he bought me a Palomino Barrel horse when we got there.
I like it.
So we absolutely non-negotiable, right? That's just the way it goes. So we moved, and he did that exact thing. He found me a Palomino Barrel horse, and I started competing. So was able to compete through the junior rodeo days, up into high school rodeo, and loved every second of it. I mean, that was truly my passion in life. You know, I was able to win titles and buckles and awards. And by my senior year, I'd made the high school finals. I'd also made the National Little Britches finals and won a world all around title. So my horse world was pretty great.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
I was planning on continuing that. And 2010 came along, January 2010. I was on my way to Denver, Colorado for the stock show. I was going there just to work for a couple of weeks. And on my way there, I was in my rollover truck accident where I was ejected, hit a fence post, and broke my back.
Yeah. Life-changing
moment.
Life
definitely, yes, definitely life-changing. You know, not the plan that I had, not what I was aiming for. And so we kind of had to start over, figure myself out, figure life out. And here we are 9 years down the road. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. So, when I think about you and the accident and how that has changed your life and everything that you have done since then too, all I can think about is how, if you talk to us a little bit about after that happened, like a little bit about what inspired you to get up and keep going, right? Because your life changed massively. You were in a wheelchair, with a broken back, and that set forth a series of, your whole life changed. Can you talk to us a little bit about, what that was that drove you to push forward with the dreams that you already had going on, that with all the success that you'd already had?
Yeah, definitely. So, even sitting on the side of the road, couldn't feel my legs, waiting for somebody to find me. I can see everything from my truck scattered around and kind of thinking, okay, now what? And obviously all of reality doesn't hit you right then, but a good chunk of it does, that you yeah. kind of just feel like, okay, what am I going to do? I was a state FFA officer, state FFA president at the time. And I thought, oh my gosh, like how am I supposed to finish my year of office. I mean, my horses are home. What am I going to do to ride my horses? I mean, I just, your whole life kind of just blows through your head of what now.
And how old were you when that happened?
18.
Uh-huh.
18. And so, you know, they fast forward through the surgery and they tell me I'm paralyzed and they tell me, you know, I tell them I ride horses and they say, you're going to have to find something else. They said chances of walking were slim to none, but more none.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, you definitely just think, no way. Like, you're lying. That's not true. That can't be how that goes.
Right. That's not my life, right?
Yeah. Oh, heavens no. You think that you're talking to somebody else. Like, you can't tell me that my whole life is now over or, you know, I don't get to do what I've loved to do up to this point. You know, and therapy started and you start working through therapy and you realize life is so different and it's super frustrating. Your balance is off. I mean, your strength is not where it was. Now you have to lift your legs around and you don't realize how hard that is. I mean, all of those things are hard and you go up and down and back and forth. But I mean, one of the first conversations I had with my mom was I have to get on a horse. And she said, I don't care if we have to strap you to that saddle, we'll get you back on a horse. So, I mean, okay, then that's where we are. We don't care what it takes. We're getting back on a horse.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of up and down. I mean, between then and even to now, there's still hard days and days I get frustrated and cry. But I mean, I have definitely learned that it's okay to be sad. And it's okay to get mad and it's okay to be frustrated because that's just being human. I mean, that's a part of being here.
Yeah.
But really, what are we going to do then? You know, you have to be able to turn that page and you have to jump to the next thing, regardless of what that is. And maybe for that day, it's literally just getting out of bed. Like maybe that is the accomplishment, but you've got to accomplish something. And I think that has really helped me keep going is to strive towards an accomplishment. Plus all the support. Honestly, I have such an amazing support system and that helps me. That helps pick me up when I need it.
Yeah, my world of building a business is so very completely different from what you have dealt with and what you're talking about. But I always say like, we all need those cheerleaders. Right. And so you mentioned your mom, who's your biggest cheerleader in life?
My mom, she has always been in my corner. I mean, she's always been through the hospital, through rehab, through bed rest, health problems. You know, she's had to be there. Same with my littlest sister. You know, she's had, honestly, my whole family though, they all play a different role for me. Like my brothers, I mean, they're like, I feel like we're a wolf pack. Like my brothers are that rock for me. You know, they've always been that. My older sister, I mean, she's the one that when I just am like, I don't know what to do or how to handle this. You know, she's like, it's okay. Like we'll get it. My dad is the one that pushes me. He's ingrained into me that you've got to be tough, that you can accomplish whatever you want. See, my mom's always supportive. My other little sister, I mean, she just knows how to live life. Like she knows how to love everybody regardless of what they're going through. And so honestly, it's a whole battle, but my family for sure, that we're such a strong family and we want to be together and we want to help each other.
Yeah.
And so they do that for me.
It matters so much. Well, that's awesome to hear. So everyone stick with us. We'll be back here in just a few minutes with Amber Lee. And we're going to keep talking about after the accident, some of the things and some of the accomplishments that she's had and some really cool things I think that are going on right now in her life. So stick with us. And on that note, head over to farmher.com, check out our events tab to see where we're going to be. We're going to be all over the place this year. So come find us in an event near you. Farmher.com. We'll be right back here on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are talking with an amazing young woman who I just think the world of, and how she has gone about building her world in the face of massive change. Amberlee Snyder. Amberlee, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. So when we left, we were talking about, you know, kind of your life before leading up to the accident that you had that obviously changed your life, and a little bit about your support system and in getting back up and going since then. So can you tell us kind of like, obviously you had a big stopping point, right? And you had to readjust and figure out how to go forward. What has your career looked like since then?
So, you know, I've been pretty lucky since my accident that things have really lined up the way they were supposed to. Like I said, I was serving as state FFA president. So a part of that job is you give a going away speech, a farewell speech, a retiring address at the end. And I had written mine the month before my accident on overcoming obstacles. So crazy enough, I began living that speech and gave it 2 months after my accident, almost to the day on stage. And people started asking me to speak and share my story. And that really has grown to be my career. And honestly, I feel like my life calling is to be a speaker. So I've been able to move forward with that part of my life and find my purpose and help other people, which is amazing and gives me a lot of strength. And then my horse part of the world, I got back into riding 4 months after. It took me 18 months. There was a gap there that I was pretty frustrated, so I didn't ride. But 18 months after, I turned to competing, and now professional rodeo, barrel race, and I gotten back into some of the roping part of the world. But I feel like that helps my mental aspect a lot, is getting back on my horses.
Oh, yeah. We all have to have something that, like, gives you that that passion, that, like, fills up that hole that we all have, you know, of what that passion is, and for you that's horses. So let's talk about something that I've been seeing on social media. I saw it getting shared all over the place last week. I believe it was through People Magazine. You are in the, well, you're probably not in the middle of the, a movie has been made about your life, and it's going to be on Netflix. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. It's super exciting. We filmed it last summer, actually, in New Mexico. It's called Walk, Ride, Rodeo, and Netflix put together, a movie. They've produced a movie. It's coming out on March 8th. I am super excited. I finally was able to see it, and it's good. I mean, yeah, they had to Hollywood up a couple things, like, they definitely had, and I mean, they had to shove, so many years into an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, there are pieces that get shoved around and moved around. And that part was interesting even to watch. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. How to figure out how the timeline went. But it's exciting. And I really hope that people find strength from it, that life knocks us down and it's okay to be upset. I mean, you'll see that.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be upset and we can get back up. So I hope people do watch it March 8th on Netflix.
I can't wait. That's super exciting. So from the background of things, like when someone's making a movie about you, did you get to have a lot of say and a lot of involvement? Were you there when they were filming? I mean, how it, like, from the Farmher standpoint, you know, like, we have our TV show and I get to be there and involved in it. But, like, when someone's making a movie about you, talk about, like, a unique experience.
You know, that part is true. If you haven't been on a set of something, like, you would even know from the TV show, there's so much that goes into 30 seconds. There is so many people involved with putting on a production. And that was awesome. I was on set for a lot of it. Anytime that there was a horse getting ridden, I was on set. I missed one. I can say I missed one scene of getting on set. I had a speech, but I was my own stunt double. So that was part of how it went when they wanted to make the movie. As I said, then I will ride for myself. There's only one of me in the whole United States. So you can't hire somebody to get on a horse and pretend their legs don't work. So I was my own stunt double and I brought Power. So he played himself with me. And my little sister was my pre-accident stunt double. So we were able to be on set a lot. My mom was there. So really us three were there the most. My mom, my little sister, my littlest sister, and me. were able to be there for all of the writing. And that was fun. That was seriously cool to even see it when it comes to life, to see the parts where we rode. And the girl, Spencer, she plays me. We tried to teach her how to ride. She'd never been on a horse before. She worked really hard. And we got, I mean, she was able to do a little bit of loping, a little bit of trotting on the camera. And she worked her butt off. She really did.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, I don't spend hardly any is even the right word. I've spent like a handful of tiny amounts of time in my life on horseback. And if it's not something you're used to, it's just, you know, it just takes time to get used to. So good for her for giving it a try, I guess, right?
Yes, that is true. I mean, that is way outside of your comfort zone to try to jump on a horse and look comfortable and happy. And she really tried hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So what is your future? Where do you want to go from here? What does the next year, 2-5 years look like for you if you got to write your story?
Man, good question. I'm excited to see how the movie unfolds. I love, like I said, I love speaking. I really do. So I hope that even grows more. For me, a goal is to speak in all 50 states. I think I'm at 37 or something like that, maybe 38. So I'm getting really close. I hope to get that finished, I'd say, in the next 5 years or 3 years or however that would be. I hope I get to all 50. And in my horse world, I want to expand that. You know, I want to be able to pro rodeo and make circuit finals in my circuit, eventually try to make a run for the NFR when I have the right horses lined up. I'm trying to write a book. I wrote a kid's book, but I haven't gotten, I say the big kid's book because I think we're all kids at heart. So yeah. I'm trying to get that book written. And at some point find my person, right? So find my person and start life with him as well.
Just a few things going on, right? You know, a book, a movie,
yeah.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah, just a couple things.
Yeah. Someone, when I was on the phone with someone the other day, telling them about Farm Her or something, they're like, so you're a slacker. So I'm going to use that term for you. So you're just hanging around, right? Not doing much. I love it. I love your passion for running forward at things. If we're almost out of time here, but if there is a young woman out there listening and you could tell her one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would tell her that she's in control. I feel like the world sometimes makes us feel like we're not. You know, all these things happen to us that are out of our control, and that is the case. But we get to pick what comes next. So don't forget you have the strength to do that.
I love that, and I need that even going into this week. So thank you for that wonderful bit of advice, and thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us here on Shining Bright today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, for all of you listening, I hope you've gained some inspiration out of these awesome young women who have been on our show today. As I said before, head on over to farmher.com and check out our events tab. We are going to be all over the place. We have a Grow event in Washington, D.C. coming up on March 18th. We have a series of events in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri the first week of April. And then we have our I Am Farm Her National Conference in Iowa, June 17th through the 19th. You can see it all there. Find your tickets. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be right back here on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome back. We are wrapping things up. I hope that you, just like I was, were amazed, impressed, and really in awe of these young women, because they are just going after it. And that is, I think, what we all dream about. And I absolutely love it. I have chills even just thinking about both of them, listening to Louise saying, oh my goodness, I'm just so amazed. And this is coming from somebody who played the bells in the junior high band, and then that was the end of my musical career. So when I hear someone say that they pick up an instrument and they just figure it out, I have so much, I'm just absolutely amazed and bowled over by her abilities. And I'm so happy to see her running after it, because we don't all get that. And then Amber Lee, I mean, you know, to go through the things that she has in life, it really struck me when she came and spoke at one of our Farm Her events. Just think about how you would navigate traveling when you are in a wheelchair and traveling by yourself. What an experience. And she does it over and over and over again, sometimes multiple times a week. I'm sure she goes all over the country and speaks. She's a very inspiring speaker. If you get the chance to attend an event where she's going to be, I would say you need to do it. You will be impressed by her. So, again, just some cool young ladies. So continuing from our first segment, when I talked a little bit about chasing your dreams, as these young women are doing and have been doing, you know, when I look at myself, it was dream and dream big. It was start putting one foot in front of the other. That matters, right? You have to do that. They may not be huge steps. They might be like teeny tiny baby steps, but you have to do that, because those baby steps build up to bigger steps and bigger steps. I had someone come up to me at one of our events and say, I want to do what you do with Farm Her. How do I do that? And I was like, and she's like, I look at all of this and it just seems so overwhelming. And I was like, well, it is if you look at it that way. But when I started this, it was baby step, baby step, baby step, little tiny movements that were working towards something that you care about. And on that note, I would say that's the next thing. It has to fire you up. When you see what you're, when you see that fire, and when you feel that fire about something that you're doing, keep doing that. You know, all of those things that wear you down, I mean, there's so many times that those things still exist. I can't take those away with Farm Her, right? Like, for example, I don't love accounting. That wears me down. For example, I don't love the pressure that comes with, you know, like making an income off of it. That kind of stinks too. But when it's something you're passionate about, keep doing what you're passionate about, and make sure that you step back and look at yourself and go, this is what drives me. This is what I have to spend my time doing, because your passion is your brand. And so you really have to fill up your time with those things that can be creative, can be passionate, whatever that is for you. You really have to take that step back and kind of look at yourself and keep running after those things. It's been an amazing experience over the last few years. And when I look at it, one of the last things I can say is refining and building. You know, you have this thing that you're taking baby steps at, that you're starting to run, then it becomes like a marathon, right? And I think there's a point with everything that we create that you look at and you go, is this still what's filling up my cup? And I ask myself that a lot. Of Farm Her definitely fills up my cup still, but what is it about Farm Her that is what I love, right? And I constantly try to bring myself back to that, because there are pressures every day that try to steer me away from that. I mean, quite honestly, like it's just the reality of running any small business. But you know, looking at yourself and going, is it the creativity that drives me? Is it my passion for these women that drives me? What is it, you know, and narrowing that down for yourself. So with that, I want to come back to something that Amber Lee said. You are in control. She said, we get to pick what's next. So don't forget that you have the strength to do that. That's coming from somebody whose life was completely changed by something that was outside of her control, an accident in which she broke her back. It happened, right? But looking at how you move forward, you are in control of how you act and react every single day, every single day. And I meet the most amazing women all over the place. You can see one this week on our Farm Her TV show on RFD TV. It airs Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 Eastern. And Rachel Taylor Tuller, she found her own path. She came back from the Army. She had PTSD. She figured out that farming fills up her cup, and she has figured out a way to move forward with that. And she is such an inspiring, positive woman. And she picks her choice, the way that she's going to act and react every single day. So inspiring women all around us. I feel inspired. I feel like I need to go do something amazing now because of all these women in my space who do amazing things. So with that, check out farmher.com for everything we're doing. See you later.
You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her.
Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.